We find in this story, being narrated by Sri Shukadev Goswami, that Rukmini, being so young, so beautiful, she is none other than the goddess of fortune. The Padma Purana explains that what Radharani is to Krishna in Vrindavan, Srimati Rukmini Devi is to Krishna in Dwarka. Just as there were so many thousands upon thousands of gopis in Braj Bhumi, but of those gopis, it is explained that 108 were prominent. And of those 108, the 8 Sakis are most prominent. But Srimati Radharani is the supreme most beloved and dear to Lord Sri Krishna. In fact, although Shamsundar was enjoying beautiful loving relationships with all of the gopis during the Ras Lila, when Srimati Radhikarani left that Ras Mandala, Krishna could experience no pleasure with none of the others. So he left all other Braj Gopis to pacify the desires of Srimati Radharani. And of course, this story is explained in Srimad Bhagavatam, because Shukadev Goswami wanted to make it very clear the supreme most position of Vrindavaneshwari, Sri Radhikarani. As the pleasure potency of the Lord, in whom Krishna is always captured by her love and her supremely devotional qualities. My Guru Maharaj gave me the name, by his causeless mercy, Radhanath Das. In Vrindavan, it is said that Krishna is always subordinate to the love of Sri Radharani. So then how is Krishna Radhanath, the Lord of Radha? It has been explained in various ways, from Krishna's point of view, he is always conquered by the love of Sri Radharani. But from Srimati Radharani's point of view, Krishna is always Radhanath, the Lord of her life. And one of Srila Prabhupada's dear friends was asked this question, and he said, Radhanath means the Lord of Radha, Sri Krishna, but it also is a name of Radharani, Radhanath, which means Radha, who is the Lord of Krishna. So in this way, so many wonderful, wonderful moods in which we can understand the beautiful, wonderful pastimes of Vrindavan Dham. But in any case, it is being explained by Padma Purana that just as Srimati Radharani has such complete prominence in Vrindavan's Leela, in the same way Rukmini, who is an expansion of Srimati Radharani, to enjoy the Aishwarya Ras, or the beautiful pastimes of awe and reverence in Dwarka, Srimati Radharani appears as Rukmini. And she has the same prominence over all the queens of Dwarka Dham. Rukmini, was the daughter of a king of the name Bhishmaka. And King Bhishmaka was a very great devotee. And in the kingdom of such great devotees, great saints and sages, great Vaishnavas would always be coming to visit. You see, it is natural that devotees are attracted to those places where they are sincerely desired. Just like Srila Prabhupada, one time his devotees were in a particular place and they were very much not welcome, and nobody was appreciating anything they were trying to do, although they were sacrificing so much of their lives to try to give these people Krishna consciousness. So Prabhupada said, then you leave that place. He said, you go where people are willing to appreciate the message that you are trying to give them. So if we really want great Vaishnavas to come to our homes or to come to our place of residence, then simply we have to genuinely and sincerely appreciate what they want to give. And then for sure such devotees will find the greatest pleasure and happiness and the greatest meaning in coming to that place. So such great devotees were always coming to the kingdom of Bhishmaka because he was giving them all facilities to render their service to the Lord. And while there, they were always explaining the glories of Lord Sri Krishna, because they understood what a great personality Krishna was. So Rukmini, she was hearing again and again the glories of Lord Krishna. And because she is none other than Lakshmi Devi, the supreme goddess of fortune, when she would hear the beautiful pastimes of Lord Krishna, hear his names and qualities, it would naturally awaken the love within her heart. In a similar way, we are all eternally Krishna's loving servants. It is our constitutional position to know Krishna and to love Krishna, to surrender our lives for the pleasure of Krishna. And although we have forgotten our real life, when we hear the glories of the Lord, when we hear the names of the Lord being spoken by great personalities who are sincerely surrendering to the mission of the Lord, this sound vibration awakens our original natural consciousness. Rupa Goswami describes adoshadatata sadhu sangutha bhajanakriya tato narta nivishtisha tato nishta ruchishtata ata shaktistamo bhava, that the process of Krishna consciousness begins when we associate with sincere devotees of the Lord. And when we hear them speak, an ordinary person who speaks Krishna Katha cannot have any potency in his words to awaken your dormant love of Krishna. Nor can impersonal philosophers. Only a genuine Vaishnav who is humbly endeavoring to be the servant of the Lord and repeat his message in a mood of devotion, only such a person does Krishna agree to appear within the sound vibration of his words. When such a person speaks, it awakens faith within our heart. And when we associate with such persons, that faith is nourished. And gradually it awakens within our heart our natural inclination to want to be Krishna conscious, to want to serve the Lord, to want to please the Lord. But it doesn't end there. Then we have to be willing, bhajana kriya. We have to be willing to perform tapasya. We have to be willing to surrender to their instructions in order to actually purify ourselves, to make this desire that has awakened in our hearts a realization. It is not something so cheap. We have to be willing to fight against Maya at that point. When we hear from the great sages and we understand what is Krishna consciousness, we understand that I am ensnared and entrapped in material energy. And there are so many of the agents of Maya, like an army all around me. They are surrounding me, and they are trying to keep me bound to these senses and their objects. They're trying to keep me away from Krishna. Because basically, those who are around us, although they may be so-called well-wishers, they are envious of Krishna. Anyone who desires their own personal sense enjoyment in life is envious of Krishna, because everything is meant for Krishna's pleasure. So when we hear the words of the great souls, at that time, we have to be willing to fight. We have to be willing to really pray to Krishna and take risks and separate ourselves from those envious forces around us trying to deliver our consciousness and our life to Maya. That was the position of Rukmini.
You were listening to Radhanath Swami on devotionalnectar.com.